Tonight, I want to begin by reading to you from John chapter 8. I want to begin reading with verse 37 and continue reading through verse 47. So John chapter 8, if you have your Bibles, you may turn there, or if you'd like just to follow along on the screen. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father. And they answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. And they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning. He does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's word. Therefore you do not hear because you are not of God. Now I want to go back and key back on verse 44, where it says, you are of your father, the devil. Now I want you to use your imagination for just a moment. Who is this? If you were to use your imagination to come up with a character that comes to your mind when you see a picture like this, who comes to mind? I guess we're all thinking about the same thing. Even though we've never seen him, we know who he is. We look at this character as being the devil, Satan, the old serpent, the old dragon, Lucifer, the deceiver, the beast, the father of lies, the wicked one. Oh, and the list could simply go on and on. We recognize because we have put into our minds what he looks like. And if we've seen a character going down the street or coming toward us down the street, we would run from him because we would think we know who he is. He is all of these things and more. But now, I'm going to tell you something else. And this next statement that I am about to make is going to shock you. What I am about to suggest to you goes against every thought and every idea that you have ever had as a Christian. I'm going to tell you something that you would never think possible to come from my lips. It goes against every word you have spoken and every action you have taken as a Christian. I'm going to tell you what we need in this church. You ready for it? Here it is. God needs you to be like the devil. Aaron, what are you saying? You get up here week after week, lesson after lesson, and you just lambast this character. You tear this character down, stay away from this character, fight this character, have nothing whatsoever to do with this character, and now you say we need to be like him? Listen to it. I'm going to say it again. God needs you to be like
the devil.
No, I haven't lost my mind. I thought I had this morning. And I haven't gone over to the other side. But I want to suggest to you tonight, my friends, that there are actually some characteristics. There are some attributes about the devil that you and I need to be better Christians. And those who are not Christians need to be a Christian. That's what I want to look at tonight. First of all, I want to suggest to you, the devil believes in God. He is a created being of God. He lived in heaven with God. He knows all about God. He was a part of the heavenly host. The devil believes. James chapter 2, verse 19. James says, you believe that there is one God? You do well. The devils believe and tremble. In Matthew chapter 8, Jesus encountered a man who was possessed with devils. And in verse 29, the devils recognized Jesus for who he was. And they said to them, to Jesus, what have we to do with you, Jesus, Son of God? Have you come to torment us before time? They knew that they were in the presence of God's Son. They also knew by them making this statement, have you come to torment us before time, that Jesus would be their ultimate judge. In fact, their fate has already been sealed, and they knew that. But the point I'm trying to stress to you is that the devil himself and his angels and his servants believe God. They believe in God. Now, the message is, we also need to believe in God. What you see on the screen now has been referred to as the golden verse of the Bible. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you really believe that? I have to tell you, my friend, Satan does. He knows why Jesus came. He knows what Jesus did, and he knows his fate because of what Jesus did. And yet we have people on earth who will not believe this, will not recognize this, and will not live by it. Jesus put it a little stronger in John 8, verse 24. If you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. You know, the devil believes this one too, because he already knows he's going to die spiritually. He knows his fate. He knows his end. And if we believe in God and we do not practice belief in Him, this is going to be our result as well. So yes, my friends, we could learn a thing or two here from the devil himself to develop a belief and a faith. Now, I'm not saying he has faith, but he does have belief. Another thing, the devil is persistent and he is strong. If you go back to the book of Job, you will find the devil challenging God about Job. When he comes with the sons of God to meet and to present himself before God, God reminds the devil of his faithful servant Job. And the devil says, well, the only reason that he's he's doing so well is because you let him. You put a hedge around him. You protected him from life. So God allows Satan to tempt Job to sin. You can do anything you want to. Just don't kill him. Satan leaves no stone unturned in dealing with Job. He destroys everything that Job has. He destroys Job's family. And even when he fails to cause Job to sin against God, he ramps up his efforts and goes after Job himself. He was ruthless against Job. And he used great power against him. He didn't give up. Over in the New Testament, we find that after Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 4, and also in Luke chapter 4, we find he is going into the wilderness to face the devil. Jesus is going to go one-on-one against his greatest enemy. He was facing the one who was the very reason that Jesus had to come to earth to begin with. He was to be the very one that would put Jesus on the cross. And in Luke's account, in Luke chapter 4 and verse 13, there's something very interesting said here. It says that when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. Now, this is the only account that we have where Jesus directly faced Satan here on earth. But according to Luke, he came after Jesus again. Probably and again and again and again. He's persistent. Not only is he persistent, he is very strong. The Apostle Peter compares him to a roaring lion. Now, we all know that the lion is the greatest of predators. They're very fierce. They're very powerful. There are very few animals that the lion cannot bring down. And Peter tells us, be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, he is just like that lion. He walks about like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's very cunning, very crafty, and he stalks with precision. And when he strikes with great power and great strength. And there is no one on the face of this earth that can resist him all the time. Everyone in this room, everyone that walks the planet today, in one time or another has given in to him and fallen for his trap and his temptation. He is very persistent, and he is very strong. We are also told to be like that. We are told to be persistent as children of God. We are told to be strong in the Lord, Ephesians 6. And that God even gives us help in this strength and giving us this strength. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 6 that he has given us the armor of God. And it is the armor of God that gives us the strength that we need to fight the devil. He gives us things such as truth that we are to gird ourselves with. He gives us the breastplate of righteousness. He gives us on our feet the preparation of the gospel of peace. He gives us the shield of faith. He gives us the helmet of salvation. He gives us the sword of the Spirit. And if we will take these things with prayer and supplication of the Spirit, we can fight the devil, because he is quite powerful. So we too, my friend, need strength. And last, the devil works night and day. Let's go back to Job. Job chapter 1, when Satan came to present himself before God, God said, "Where did you come from?" And Satan's answer was this: "From going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it." You know what that tells me? He is constantly at work. He doesn't start when the sun rises and stop when the sun goes down. He goes on. Every day, every night, 24 hours a day, 365 days out of the year. He never stops. And do you know what he's doing with all this going back and forth and to and fro? Do you know what he's doing? He's doing exactly what Peter had said earlier. He is walking about like that roaring lion, and he is looking for someone to devour. And you know who he's looking for? He's looking at you. And he's looking at me. He's always working. He came back a second time against Job. He wasn't ready to give up on Job. He came at Peter at least two times from the scripture, once on the night of the betrayal of Christ, and the other when dealing with the Gentile Christians. So he didn't even leave the great apostle Peter alone. And you know and I know, he works day and night against us, to trap us, to weaken us, to destroy us. He is a great worker, day and night. And yeah, we can learn something from that, because we too are to be fellow workers, but not for the devil. We are to be fellow workers of God. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 19. Jesus refers to us as laborers in his vineyard, sowing his seed, applying ourselves wholeheartedly to God and to our Christianity. And we must give it every effort. I do have one more thing I want to share with you. The devil also knows God's word. You know, there are people who you would think wouldn't know the scriptures. Those who are not Christians, it would not know the scriptures. Do you know how many atheists there are in the world? And out of those atheists, do you know that many of them understand the Bible as well as you or I? Because, you know, you've heard me say this many times. If you're going to go to battle against the enemy, you have to know the enemy. You have to understand the enemy. You have to get inside of his head and have his knowledge. And many atheists has Bible knowledge. The devil knows God's word. Go back to the Garden of Eden. Satan knew about the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Satan knew about the tree of life. And he knew what the fruit from both of those trees would do to man. He also knew what God had told Adam and Eve about the forbidden fruit. And he knew exactly how to use that knowledge against Eve. So you see, he knows God's word. Even when he went up against Jesus in the wilderness, Matthew chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, the devil even quoted scripture when he was tempting Jesus to jump from the pinnacle of the temple. Of course, he quoted Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12, and of course he misused it, as you would expect. The devil took him into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone.'" Again, he knows God's word. And there's a lesson here for us. Just like the devil himself, we need to have a great understanding of God's word. That's why Paul tells tells us, 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, study to show yourself approved to God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I got to tell you, my friends, there are so many ways that we could mention that and understand that Satan has a bag full of tools. He knows his job. And unfortunately, he does it well. And there are some things that we can learn from him. We need his tenacity. We need his determination. We need his perseverance. We need his consistency. Oh, the list could go on and on. He has a lot of attributes that we need in the church today. But the difference is we can take his tools and work against him. We can take his ideas and his characteristics and we can use them in battle against him. And that's exactly what we must do. I ask you tonight in closing this lesson, are you working for God with every fiber of your body and soul? Because I have to tell you, friends, if you're not, you're on his side. And you may think, well, I would never be on the devil's side. Well, all you have to do is sit there and do nothing. And you're on the devil's side. You can do just a little bit and let everything else go on by, and you're on the devil's side. But you know the greatest thing? If we will use the energy that we can literally learn from him to work for God, we can defeat Satan. And I know Satan is already defeated. I know God has already won the victory. The war is over, but the battles are still raging. And we're in the middle of those battles. And we have to fight those battles, even though the devil's going to lose. We don't want to go with him. And so we take the tools that he gives us and the tools that God has given us to fight this battle. And Christian friend, if you are not fighting this battle the way you need to fight, you need to look at yourself long and hard and understand that there is more that you can do to fight against Satan. And repent of your shortcomings and get in that fight. And if you're not a Christian, you have an opportunity to get into the fight. You're not even in the fight yet. And we give you that opportunity tonight. Please come if you need while we stand and sing.